Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Rick Singeri. Most children's books are fun little bits of fiction conjured up to make children laugh. It's not often you'll find nonfiction children's books that also manage to delight young readers with their true tale. But that's what environmental journalist and author Laurel Neamy has done with her new book, Orangutan Houdini, which relates the story of the wily and inventive Fu Manchu, an orangutan that lived at the Henry Dorley Zoo in Omaha, Nebraska.
Well, Fu, like a lot of orangutans everywhere, is very intelligent. And he also is very kind because there are a lot of stories of him helping and saving and playing with his zookeepers. And he had a relationship with Jerry for a long time, who was a zookeeper at the Henry Dorley Zoo in Omaha. And Fu liked to outsmart Jerry and play games with Jerry. And so this book is about his many, many escapes.
Is this behavior normal in orangutans?
It is, the idea of problem solving. And what's interesting about this book is that the escapes aren't really to escape the zoo. It's not that he didn't like the zoo. The escapes were to, as a challenge to get out of the zoo, but more than that, to deceive Jerry by hiding the manner in which he escaped. And if you think of it, you actually, if you want to escape from a zoo, you need to, first you have to decide that's what you want to do, and then you have to decide how you're going to do it. And if you're going to unlock a door, which is what Fu did, you actually have to mentally reverse engineer the lock and then figure out what tools you need to actually devise that lock pick. And in his case, he exchanged monkey biscuits for the wire. And that you see that behavior quite often in other zoos, but also in the wild, where there's a barter and an exchange for different things. And then you also have to put yourself in the mind of Jerry to not get caught and to be able to continue escaping. He actually had to figure out how to hide his manner of escaping. And that deception is something also you see both in the wild and in a lot of zoos as well.
He was so clever, I'm not sure I would have figured out how to get out of his cage like he did.
I mean, the one thing it has done is it has given me a new appreciation of lying.
How closely are humans related to orangutans?
It's about 96%. We share about 96% of our DNA with orangutans, and we share a lot of our intelligence with them in terms of problem solving and observing and coming up with a solution to a problem.
Now, I'm not sure. The one thing I don't think I would share with Houdini, with Fu Manchu here, is he would get out and not leave the zoo. He would go watch the elephants all the time. I think I would have made a clean break of it.
Well, you don't know how cool elephants are, so.
Well, that's true. Can you read a passage from the book for us?
Sure. This is on one of his many escapes. Jerry was smart, but Fu was smarter. Jerry stood at the base of the tree and cooed. Fu pretended he didn't notice. The large ape ripped a small handful of leaves. He glanced down and placed one on his tongue. Jerry sighed. He climbed the trunk and offered the orangutan his hand. In reality, Fu didn't mind going back. He'd achieved the goal and knew he could escape any time he wanted. Fu touched Jerry's hand and headed down the tree.
I really do love that he escapes. And then after a while, he knows, Jerry's going to be coming by. The zookeeper will come by to get me. It's my time to go back. And he did. He just always complied.
He did. And what's funny is that this book, while Fu is a very special orangutan himself, it actually could have been written about a number of other orangutans in a number of other places. For instance, Ken Allen at the San Diego Zoo would also escape at will. And his thing, he didn't hang out by the elephants. He actually hung out with the tourists, and they would take photos with him. And
he had his own fan club,
too, he
right?
did. And the zoo would sell T-shirts. And
well, this is a very entertaining book, but did you have a greater motivation for wanting young readers to learn about these animals?
Well, I think any time you get excited about an animal, you can start to care about it more. And this book actually came out of research for my first book, which was an adult narrative nonfiction book called Animal Investigators, which follows three cases of wildlife crime from beginning to end. And when I was researching that, I discovered that orangutans were not only very cute, which they are as babies, but they're, because of that, they're desired for the pet trade. And also learned that the palm oil trade was destroying their habitat. And what's interesting is that once you start to learn about orangutans and care about them, you start to care about their habitat, and you can also start to take action. And there's examples of a number of different kids who have really stood up and taken action for orangutans by thinking about the palm oil trade and writing letters to companies or sharing information about orangutans with their friends, doing school projects with them. And in fact, I was just at Moortown Elementary School, and the kids, after my visit, the kids wore orange to raise awareness about orangutans.
Oh, you gotta love that.
I do.
I was speaking with Laurel Neamey. She's from Shelburne and author of Orangutan Houdini. Now, Laurel, help me make that connection of how the harvesting of palm oil affects the well-being of orangutans.
Well, palm oil is used in everything from cosmetics to ice cream to detergents. It's actually a good oil in a lot of ways because it's very stable, and also it uses less land to produce. The problem is that when companies, industrial plantations grow it, they cut down everything else. And so that's the real problem, is the way it's grown. And so there's been a big shift recently in the last year. Company after company has now pledged to source their palm oil sustainably, meaning deforestation free. And the question for us is, we need to monitor it and make sure that it happens, because you can say a lot of good things, but without that accountability, nothing will happen. But the habitat, and it's not just orangutans that live in the rainforest. Orangutans are found in the wild in only two places, in Borneo and Sumatra, which is parts of Indonesia and Malaysia. And that actually is where 85% of palm oil is grown.
Oh, interesting.
So one of our Vermont companies, Seventh Generation, was one of the first to source palm oil sustainably. And Vermonters care a lot about where their products come from. And this is a great example of consumers pushing companies to make changes in their policy, and that really driving a huge change in palm oil production.
Now, I noticed on your website you have a teacher's guide to the book Orangutan Houdini. How do people use that?
Well, the teacher's guide is great because it handles not only literacy issues, but also a lot of science and math and social studies type things. It has activities from kindergarten all the way through sixth or seventh grade, because at various levels, different things are appropriate. So learning about rainforests, learning about with links how to take action for orangutans. What now? Now that you're interested, how can I share my passion? From things like doing reports. It gives examples of kids who have taken action and had a real impact, like the two Girl Scouts you may have heard about from 2007 who wouldn't sell Girl Scout cookies because they contained palm oil. And that I'm really proud of the teacher's guide because it's been vetted with orangutan scientists who actually are using it in their own organizations.
Do different age groups take away different messages from this book?
I think they do, because I think the younger kids, they like that Foo escapes and escapes and escapes and outsmarts the zookeeper. So, and they take away just a good fun tale and also a love of orangutans. Older kids get inspired by the possibilities for action and what they can actually do to help, and get very interested also in the intelligence of animals and how you might test that.
Growing up, what piqued your interest in the subjects you write about now?
That's a great question. And I think partly books. You know, you read these classic books that inspire you, and you meet people that inspire you, or you read about them. So books like Dr. Doolittle makes you want to talk to animals. And I definitely love that book. And there were a lot of other books. Owen and Meese, which was a true story also about a hippopotamus and a tortoise becoming friends, and other books which just inspire you about the possibilities.
Laurel Nimi is an environmental journalist. She's the author of Orangutan Houdini and lives in Shelburne. Thank you so much for joining us today on Vermont Edition.
Thanks very much for having me.